Hello and welcome to this edition of the Boulder BI Brain Trust, or the BBBT. We're a gathering of leading consultants, analysts, and experts in business intelligence who meet with interesting and innovative companies here in a beautiful Boulder, Colorado. We not only get briefed on the latest news and releases, but we also share our ideas with them on where the BI industry is going and help them with their marketing direction and messaging. The BBBT podcasts are produced by my company, Intelligence Solutions, and are sponsored by the BI Network. I'm Claudia Imhoff, and I'm pleased to introduce my guests today. One is Michael Whitehead, and the other one is Chris Stewart. Michael is the CEO and founder of Warescape, and Chris is the director for Enterprise Data Warehouse for Med Assets. So welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us here, and I have to say that Boulder is absolutely beautiful today.
Oh, it is. You're lucky you're here in the summer. All right, Michael, let's start off with you. You know, a very controversial webcast came up yesterday. I think the title was, "Do You Really Need a Data Warehouse?" I'm going to ask you about your thoughts on that. I saw it as well and thought it was, I'll just wait for your thoughts. You go right ahead.
Look, I was fascinated by it because it's like calling death on a system that is still delivering huge value to people and is going to carry on doing it. The concept behind a data warehouse is so absolutely strong. There are certain problems that are best sorted out by getting some data, reformatting it, changing it, combining it with other data, and doing it once and making it available multiple times. That's all a data warehouse is, and that concept is going to be around for a very, very long time.
You know, what I found interesting about it is, I agree with you, I think that the core data warehouse, there's no doubt you have to have static data that you can then have dynamic and analytics against. I think the idea that it is the only place for analytics is probably untrue. We do have to extend the environment to include now operational data or perhaps federated data into it. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's no way that the data warehouse is going to go away. It can't. And Chris, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that when we get to your company as well, because you're heavily into the enterprise data warehouse. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about Warescape then. You spend a fair bit of time, Michael, talking about the strategy of the company, the strategy of where it came from. I really want to hear that again. I think it's good for this podcast.
First off, I agree that the definition of a data warehouse has changed, and that it. I really like what EMA talk about it, that the hybrid data ecosystem, which includes a data warehouse, but includes lots of other bits of data as well. So what we're doing at Warescape is we're still very much data warehouse focused, but we accept that change and are adopting that change and are supporting that change. So we see a lot of our customers that used to be, say, used to identify as a Teradata data warehouse customer will now say they have a data warehouse and it includes Teradata and something else and something else. But what we've done is we've kept very much to the same principles we've had right from the beginning, that we think data warehouses are great, but we think they take too long to build and they're too hard to change. And what we have done is, rather than try and add yet more technology into the mix, we're trying to provide a layer that makes existing technology more productive, enables you to build it faster. So the Warescape Red product, which is our major product, is a data warehouse development environment, enabling people to make changes quicker and build it faster.
Well, and I think your whole philosophy of, for heaven's sake, you've got some good stuff here. Let's not just layer yet more technology on top of it. Let's use what you've got, but make it more efficient, make it faster, make it more changeable, more maintainable, I think is a pretty darn good strategy.
Well, it's really easy to get a SQL person. It's really easy to get someone who understands that. You don't have to go to the market and say, do you know this particular ETL tools way of doing something? You can go and get a SQL person. It's a really powerful language. And I guess when we started off, databases were incredibly powerful. A lot of the ETL tools vendors started, the databases at that stage weren't very powerful. So we've grown up in the environment where you have this fantastic engine. So we just take advantage of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've done a very nice job. Well, Chris, let me bring you into the conversation a little bit. And by the way, thank you, Warescape, for bringing one of your customers. It was a terrific story that you had. In your case, Med Assets actually bought a very large company. So it was kind of a merger of equals coming together. They each had their own BI environments to a certain extent, some better than others, perhaps. But you actually decided to kind of start all over again. So why don't you tell me your story a little bit?
At that point of acquisition, you had the opportunity to kind of rethink some things. And you knew the sources are going to be changing. You knew that there was going to be a lot of influx in data-wise. And so we were looking at that thinking, you know what, this is an opportunity that we need to do this. But if we wait for the perfect time, it's going to be 2 or 3 years later. So as we started looking at technology and started thinking about how can we do this with everything being in flux, and that's what led us to Warescape and to Red, and knowing that the flexibility we would get out of that would allow us to build this data warehouse and absorb all those changes and know that would happen in a very agile way. But yet at the end, we'd still have this data warehouse built kind of in parallel with these other activities, but be able to factor those in as we went along without a bunch of redo that would be very costly to the organization.
So what were some of the challenges that you faced then at the very get-go? I mean, I think the first one was just admitting that neither one of the BI environments was going to be the environment, right?
It was an honest look at all the systems. And as a group, we realized, you know what, we can take this and we can consolidate some of this information. Because when you have a lot of data marts or databases that are serving individual products, you miss the opportunity of what that data can do together and how it's connection points. And once we realize, you know, it's going to be better together, and we can still serve those individual needs out of that data warehouse, but at the same time do brand new things that we couldn't do before and build new capabilities for our customers. It was kind of a no-brainer, but it took, you know, some diligence to get there and some leadership from, you know, our executives to jump in and say, yeah, we're going to do this and do it right.
Well, tell me, let's talk about Med Assets a little bit. What does the company do to begin with, and how has this new environment helped the company?
We're basically serving hospitals and health systems and helping them reduce their overall cost by lowering their supply cost and then maximizing their revenue. And in that, we're hoping, you know, at 5% or more of what, you know, their margin will be increased by activities with Med Assets, because we're very committed to helping their bottom line. And so with this data, we can identify even more opportunities to impact them and do that in a more sustainable way year over year, not just a one-shot, hey, let's fix this and walk away, but a commitment over a long period of time with the institution to continuing to monitor the data and help them find even new places that they can lower their supply cost or raise their revenue.
Well, and the interesting thing that I found is that your customers are all over the place. They're anything from a small, what, 50-bed hospital to a 1,000-bed or bigger.
Exactly. And in serving that wide range of customers, you need a very flexible environment. And that's what we wanted to make sure that we weren't targeting just toward one customer, but each customer could benefit in the way that they need to. They could adjust the data in a way that made sense to them and it could be beneficial, so it became actionable. And this wasn't a report that a CEO received, but you could take the data and you could do something with it.
Now, you picked Warescape for what reasons? What did they bring to the table?
You know, as things we saw, we immediately, you know, as we looked at the various ways of doing this, our philosophy, our point of view was ELT was a way that we could basically pour all of our resources into our data warehouse and let it not only be that agent to serve the query, but also as a way to transform the data using that same parallel capabilities. And they supported that vision very well. And we also wanted someone who would take their knowledge that they have for many years of building many warehouse projects and put it into their product. And it felt like a guided experience. And when you go to a POC and you take your very toughest problems and you face the vendor with those, and they're able to knock those out one by one by one, the confidence book grows quickly with the team.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a lovely story for Warescape as well as for Med Assets. All right, well, Michael, let me go back to you then, and let's talk a little bit about 3D. You launched it last year at the BBBT. Thank you very much. It was very exciting for us. You've also come back this year to talk a little bit about what 3D's been doing. So why don't you tell me what's happened in the year?
Look, it's been a fantastic journey. It was great. The release was great here, and we got a lot of publicity out of it. So thank you. What we've learned over the last year is a couple of things. One, that we had to scale it out, that we put against some very, very large systems, and we found out that we had to add very database-specific functionality to it. Some databases, it's best to look at logs. Sometimes it's best to look at the tables. We've also found that it's had good pickup in the Agile community as well, and we've had to make some features in there to make that better for people. We now can generate tables at the end of it. We can generate data that goes into it. And what that means is before you've even started the project, once you've just figured out what you want to do, you can get your report writers going on it, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's excellent. They can be jump ahead.
Well, it's one of the things when you look at the overall timeline, if you can start that earlier, it's often on the critical path. And then one of the other things that's in the latest version 1.2, which was released today.
Today, at the BBBT.
At the BBBT.
Again.
Is data model conversions as well. So very useful, especially if you're doing things like data vaulting. So you can play with the product and configure it and basically grow your rules with it to move from, say, a third normal form to a data vault, and then maybe from a data vault through to a star schema. And 3D can take you through that and manage change going forward. It's one of the things we've learned is that design is ongoing. It's not just a one-off exercise, and we needed to support that.
All righty. Well, speaking of scale out, you mentioned a very large financial company that is now one of your customers, and it was a kind of mind-boggling story. If you don't mind, without mentioning the name of the customer, of course, tell me a little bit about that story.
One of the places that we put 3D against was a customer site that had, I think they had about 30,000 tables, and I think it was about 60-something terabytes, if I recall correctly. And it basically didn't handle that initially. We put it against it. Within the product, we can do things like discover all the tables, and then we can profile. That's a lot of tables inside there. And what we had to do is we basically had to just refine the approach to say our first initial discover can only be a discover, just find nothing else within there. In order to scale it up, you have to basically break the problem down. And it was fantastic for us, and it helped the product a lot and gave us a lot more confidence and scaling out.
Yeah, well, and it worked, right?
Yeah, eventually.
Well, it took a little effort, but it actually did work, which is a pretty phenomenal story in its own right. Huge amount of data, massive amount of tables, and yet it pulled through. It worked. That's good. All right, well, let's end up with our talk today with a little bit about the future. Where are you going? What's happening?
Where we're going? Well, On the two products, stick with 3D for a minute. What you're going to see there is the first multi-user version of it. So at the moment, it's single user. So you're going to be able to have multiple people come into one repository. And also, it's going to be schedulable. So it's one of the things we've learned as well is that profiling can be an expensive operation. And so we need to be able to schedule that. And also, we need to schedule for gap analysis. People are using the product to see what changes have happened over time. So we can now schedule that, so you can run it every night and then detect if there is a change. And that change is not just in the data structure. It could be in the data usage as well, because we're looking at the data as well. So a table could move from being fully populated to partially populated, or nulls have started to appear inside there, which can impact you later on. We can detect that, and we can schedule those changes now. Then on the red side, a lot of the efforts that we're going into there are into this hybrid data ecosystem side of things, the idea that as you bring in appliances, as you bring in the big data style data storages, that's making the management side of things far, far worse. Now you've got lots of different repositories. You're still going to have to develop things within them. You're still going to want to have impact analysis across it. You're still going to want to understand what's going on. So with RED, this is all what we call a RED 7 initiative, and you're going to see that rolling out from us over the next months.
Next month?
Months.
Months, plural. Okay.
It's an ongoing. RED 7 is an ongoing project that you're going to see bits of it coming through.
Oh, that's wonderful, though. Yeah, it'll be. You're right. The environment is becoming incredibly complex. In fact, it worries me a little bit that maybe we've gone back to the world of chaos. But hopefully, with RED and with 3D, we'll have some mechanism to actually monitor, maintain, control it.
Yeah, as long as, you know, we shouldn't need to go back to having siloed data again. And that's, you know, that's why we had data warehouses in the beginning. And
right.
the idea of now having silo data that you can't join up because some part of it's an appliance and part of it's in a warehouse, we shouldn't go down that way. That's a bad path to go.
It's a bad road to jump down. Yeah, I agree. All right, well, we're unfortunately out of time, but that's it for this edition of the BBBT podcast. Again, I'm Claudia Imhoff, and it's been a great pleasure to speak with my good friend Michael Whitehead of Warescape, and a joy to meet you, Chris Stewart of MedAssets. So thanks so much to both of you for speaking with me today. I hope you enjoyed today's session. If you want to read more about the session, please search for our hashtag on Twitter. That's #BBBT. And please join me again for another interview. Goodbye and good business.